It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
If you see anybody in a restaurant,
let my wife through.
In a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd, and you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
I was attacked from behind, unaware, never saw my assailant.
When they go low, we go high.
No. When they go low, we kick.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
I was there at the ball field when Stephen Scalise almost died. There is going to be an assassination if this doesn't ratchet down.
The FBI says it has stopped a plot to set off a massive bomb on Washington, D.C.'s National Mall on Election Day.
That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength.
If there is some collateral damage for some others who do not share our view, well, so be it.
All right, that's a montage that was prepared by Fed Up Pack. And believe me, I'm fed up. I want you to remember what's been happening in the last weeks and months in this country. This is the last weekend before the midterm election. So much at stake. And in Fed Up Pack, they end with vote against the Democratic mob. Vote against the Democratic mob. And if you want to see that montage, we'll put it on our Facebook page because you should see it. There's a lot more than actually the conversation. And perhaps if you don't remember those incidences with Maxine Waters asking for people to aggressively make conservatives miserable in public places, or you didn't hear Mrs. Clinton talk about we can't have civility unless we win back both houses, then we'll stop this incivility. Just think about that. Then you might remember the Kavanaugh hearings with people screaming in the hearing chamber, screaming from the balcony. It was a bizarre scene, and yet not a single whimper of criticism from any of the Democratic senators. Not a single one. In fact, they participated in the chaos. So please remember this as we prepare for the midterm elections on Tuesday. And if you want to know practically what to do with this little bit of time left, let me just tell you, we have a great voter guide, AFAaction.net, AFAaction.net. If you go there, you enter your zip code, it will tell you how your candidate stands on the issues. It will give you a ranking of where they are on the spectrum of issues, and it will be a great tool for you to take to the voting booth. Also, it's not too late to volunteer for a candidate. It doesn't have to be someone in your state. You can volunteer for a good candidate that you've heard about around the country anywhere. You can make phone calls. You can fly to that state, drive to that state, go door to door, knock. You just have to contact that campaign and ask what it is you can do to help. You can give money. You can give money to candidates. You can give money to Senate Conservatives Fund. You can give money to the Freedom Caucus PAC, which is supporting conservative members for the House. Very important PAC. All these things. Also, you can talk to your friends and neighbors. Talk to them about this election. Don't be so afraid. You can do it kindly, winsomely, but tell them what's at stake. And the best way to do that is to sort of think about, it's kind of like a lifestyle evangelism, like sharing the gospel. There's a lot of things you can say about Jesus, but there are certain things that might reach certain people because it will resonate with them, whether it's the future of their children. And so it is with political things, which at their heart are about good and evil. Politics is nothing more than how people behave and the rules that govern a society. It's not that different. And so think about what your neighbors care about, and then think about how you might speak to them about the policies and the things that are at stake with this election. And certainly last but not least, pray. Please, please pray. You don't have to wait to go to church. You can pray, you know, as you do your laundry, as you drive to work, as you are in your cubicle at work, whatever it is you're doing, pray for this country. Pray that God would have mercy on us, because there is a lot at stake at this election. If you want to be reminded of how bad it is, the hatred of Donald Trump is driving a lot of the hatred of the left. But of course, the hatred of Donald Trump is nothing more really than the hatred of conservative values, because that's what he has been championing. But just to give you an idea of the hatred, in case you had forgotten, here's a montage of the media talking about your president.
This president has radicalized so many more people than ISIS ever did.
As the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, up to the right. And we have to start doing something about them.
Trump has delivered on the things that they care about most. He has delivered racism for these people. He has delivered misogyny for these people.
The same type of rhetoric, the same type of propaganda that you would have seen in Germany in 1938, the dehumanization, turning people into infested vermin.
Look, the young people in this country are not with this sort of evil, nasty authoritarianism.
Republicans have to call this out because their souls are on the line.
Yeah. So he heads a giant cult. He also heads a party that knows very well that he's a giant cult.
His erratic behavior, his ignorance could pose a profound danger to every single person in this country and literally every inhabitant of the planet Earth.
The president's obviously a racist. He's obviously a demagogue. He obviously condones anti-Semitism, stokes up nationalist hatred, all the stuff we've said.
That's propaganda. That's what happened in Nazi Germany.
This radical group of right-wingers who've perverted our democracy and really are doing what they can to ruin our country.
All right, I'm going to interrupt because it goes on and on and on, but let me just review. This is, you see, they're not talking about Donald Trump. They are, but they aren't. They're talking about those of us that support the president and most of all support the policies he's advanced. These people, he is delivering for these people. Racism, they are racist. They are a giant cult. They are anti-Semitic. They're radical right-wingers. They're like the Nazis. That they're talking about you and me. And so if you think that this election is not important and that the people that are saying those things, who represent many that are running across the country for public office, are not going to do radical things and are not going to come after you and your children, your resources, the opportunities, your right to speak freely, your right to vote freely, your right to bear arms, your right to express your religious faith, then you don't understand what's happening here. And so I beg you to be serious about this election this coming Tuesday. I want to tell you a little bit about what's at stake. There, a lot of the polling, of course, the majority of the polling is telling us the Republicans are expected to maybe gain a couple of seats in the Senate, maybe, if they're lucky. But in the House, the Republicans are expected to lose control. But let me just say this. Yes, I know that the polls say that, but we all lived through the polls of 2016, and we know that they said, no one said that Donald Trump could win the presidency. They all thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And so they still haven't gotten over that fact. I'm not sure we have either, those of us that support conservative values. I don't think there's any reason to think that the polls are any more trustworthy this time around. But we don't know for sure. I want to give you the full picture because we need to work, fight until there's nothing left to do. And so as we approach this race, let me just say that six of the seats in the Senate are currently listed as toss-ups, four of which belong to current Democratic senators, according to Real Clear Politics. And Republicans need to maintain, of course, 51 seats to keep the majority. I actually think they're going to do that. But in the Senate, five of those toss-up Senate races, the incumbents include John Tester of Montana, Bill Nelson of Florida, Joe Donnelly of Indiana, Claire McCaskill of Missouri, Nevada Republican Senator Dean Heller. And, of course, there's the Arizona Senate race where there's no incumbent because it was John McCain's seat. It's Representative Martha McSally against Democratic Representative Kyrsten Sinema. Those are all very, very tight races. Democrats, of course, are saying there's going to be a blue wave. They've been telling us that for months. We know since the Kavanaugh hearing that there's a bit of a red wave going on, too. We just don't know how to measure both of them. You know, who's going to turn out the most? You know, are the women who are being pitched, you know, that there's so many women running, are they going to turn out in droves? In fact, that reminds me of the Emily's List clip that we played earlier in the week. I want you to hear it again because it involves something like there's like 60 women running for the House of Representatives, enough to swing it. And they're appealing to women. Like, this is all about women being elected, like somehow that's a feather in our caps as women, that women will sit in the House. But these kind of women I could live without. Let's listen to that clip.
Women of America, this is your house. And this year, pro-choice Democratic women are taking it back.
With unprecedented numbers and historic momentum.
Emily's List candidates alone have the power and the numbers
to flip key districts
and change the balance of power in Washington.
We can and we must.
Because when Congress falls in line behind a recklessly dangerous president, we say,
not in my house.
When a decade of progress is erased with the stroke of a pen, we say,
not in my house.
When we see Republicans strip us of the right to control our own bodies, we say,
not in my house.
When we speak truth to power, we see change we never thought possible.
When we raise record sums to support Democratic, pro-choice women candidates,
we take that power into our own hands.
Since 2016, the number of women candidates looking to run for House seats has doubled.
Because it is our house.
When we see our house lead us toward a darker future, we see red.
But if every Emily's List candidate wins this year, we'd see blue.
Emily's List has launched candidates in over 60 U.S. House districts.
We only need to win 23 seats to flip the House.
And Emily's List has already endorsed more than enough candidates in Republican districts to do just that.
Like me.
And me.
And me.
Women alone have the power to take back the House for the progressive agenda.
That's just math.
So please join us.
Volunteer, donate, run.
Because a woman's place is in this house.
All right. All I can say is I don't care how beautifully produced. I don't care how great that music. Don't you dare let these women prevail in this election. These women who love abortion, love it. They talk about in this house, they dare to have a young girl talk about not in my house. And as I said earlier this week, amazing that she lived to say that, given the way her mother feels about this or grandmother. Emily's List is dreadful. You see the candidates in there, including Abigail Spanberger and Nancy Pelosi. Abigail Spanberger more than once running against Dave Brat in Virginia 7, acting as though she's a conservative. These women are not conservative. They are rabid leftists, and they will change things. Absolutely. And that's why you must get busy before this election on Tuesday. And then, of course, we're fighting more than one battle. We're fighting not only the left. Most of them are Democrats. I wish that weren't the case, but it is. There used to be a time when there were Democrats that were, my parents were Democrats. They were conservative. That horse left the barn. And so we are left with a party that is infiltrated by the far left. And then we're left with another fight. And that's the establishment Republicans, who obviously care more about getting rid of conservatives than they do about winning the House. Otherwise, they wouldn't have targeted Steve King earlier in the week, asserting that he's a racist and withdrawing their support from him in his race in Iowa. It's just amazing. And so conservatives, we need to link arms and make sure that we vote to support and put into office some really fine people, because there are some great candidates out there running. They just need you. They need you to vote for them and support them financially and walk the precincts and make phone calls and pray for them. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I'm Cindy Hyde-Smith, and I approve this message.
Now more than ever, we need leaders in Washington standing up for our constitutional rights. Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith has been endorsed by the National Rifle Association for her strong support of our Second Amendment gun rights.
As a lifetime NRA member, I proudly support our Second Amendment rights, the constitutional right, and I assure you I will defend that every day, all day long.
Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, endorsed by the NRA.
Sandy Rios back with you. This is a Senate race that I have yet to cover, and yet it's probably one of the most interesting in the nation. It's a runoff or to fill in for Thad Cochran's seat, the remaining part of his term. He stepped aside, and Phil Bryant appointed Cindy Hyde-Smith, who was already serving a public office. She has been endorsed by President Donald Trump, the National Rifle Association, as you just heard, Mississippi Manufacturers Association, and the National Association of Realtors. But you may recall that this seat has been so hotly contested since at least 2014, when Senator Chris McDaniel, who's our guest today, challenged Thad Cochran for that seat. It is so complicated and so interesting, and so we have to talk about it because I want you to know. Chris, thank you for joining us today. Explain to us what's going to happen in just a few days on midterm elections 2018. What's going to happen in Mississippi?
Sure. What's happening in Mississippi is very unusual because Senator Cochran did step down, and that means we have a special primary that's taking place. And it's essentially like a jungle primary in Louisiana. Here's what that means. There are four candidates in the race. It will be a nonpartisan race, so parties won't be listed. Four candidates in the race. The top two will advance to a runoff. So there's no fear about splitting the votes among Republicans or anything like that. The top two candidates will advance to a runoff 3 weeks later. At that stage, the Democrats lose either way. And I'm the only lifelong Republican in the race. I'm the only conservative in the race. The others are lifelong Democrats or recently switched. The others all voted for either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. So I'm the only person in this race that hasn't voted for Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton.
Well, it really is an interesting situation, and I want us to talk about the contrast between your record and where you stand on the issues and the other candidates. I do want to say that it's been confusing to people. They have noticed that around the country, President Trump has endorsed lots of candidates who are not necessarily the most conservative in the race. That has not been uncommon. I think his endorsement of Judge Moore in Alabama, he felt he was very burned by that. Many of us feel like Judge Moore was Kavanaugh'd and his reputation ruined. Because of that, President Trump has advisors in the White House who, generally speaking, want him to endorse the establishment candidate. And in this case, it's Cindy Hyde-Smith. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I'm sorry. You're exactly right. And bear in mind, you might remember the name Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney cannot stand Donald Trump, but Donald Trump endorsed Mitt Romney for U.S. Senate. John McCain, he couldn't stand Donald Trump, but Donald Trump endorsed John McCain for U.S. Senate. Paul Ryan in the House, he fought Donald Trump every day, but Paul Ryan was endorsed by Donald Trump for U.S. House. Something isn't right. And here's the problem. Right now, Mitch McConnell, who's playing this hardball in the U.S. Senate, he's got 51 senators over there that he controls. Trump needs those senators to get his agenda passed. So he's pressuring Donald Trump to enter these bad deals, and that's why we're getting endorsements of Mitt Romney and John McCain and Cindy Hyde-Smith. It's a bad deal forced on the American people by the likes of Mitch McConnell.
It's confusing, I think, for voters, Chris. There's no question about it. Now, I mentioned Cindy Hyde-Smith's endorsements, but I didn't mention yours. Can you tell us who's supporting your candidacy?
Oh, my goodness, so many. Brian Fisher is supporting me. You may have heard that name before on your radio network.
Yes, absolutely.
Mark Levin. Mark Levin's endorsed me. Ron Paul has endorsed me. There's so many. Wayne Dupree has endorsed me. Andrew Wilkow. Lars Larson. We've got Representative Steve Hopkins, Representative Dana Criswell. We've had Donald Trump's regional coordinator endorse me. We've had his co-chair in counties endorse me. We've had Mississippi for Donald Trump has endorsed me. Brian Hodges out there, the head of the Trump's campaign in DeSoto County, has endorsed me. It's just so many. We're very, very blessed to have a groundswell of support from all part of our state, and that's why we're going to win this race.
You know, actually, your race reminds me a little bit about the Virginia Senate race. Tim Kaine's the incumbent, and the gentleman who ran Donald Trump's PAC, who was just a champion for him, is the Republican candidate. His name is escaping me in this moment, but he didn't get President Trump's endorsement, and he's not getting the establishment's endorsement because the establishment hates him too. So it's just, it's kind of same but different. So let's talk about issues, though, because that's what people are interested in. You know that we have, you know that AFA has a voter guide. You know it well, because we have actually a tough voter guide. We ask, we talk about the past records of candidates, and then ask, we have a survey where we ask you where you stand on the issues, and then you get a ranking. And before we even talk about the specifics of this, I have to say that Cindy Hyde Smith's ranking is somewhat conservative, and yours is very conservative. I'm curious to know, in reading her her answers, you guys are alike on a lot of things, whether it's transgender bathrooms and things like that that would be of interest to Christian voters. And we don't have to limit the discussion to things interesting to Christian voters, but there are so many in Mississippi, it's important. What do you think separates the two of you?
Well, we're nothing alike. Nothing alike. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Cindy Hyde Smith voted to fund Planned Parenthood. You can't claim to be pro-life and vote to fund Planned Parenthood. You can't claim to be law and order and vote to fund sanctuary cities. You can't claim to be against Obamacare but then vote to fund Obamacare. You just can't do things like that. You can't claim to be for balanced budgets, and then when you have a chance to finally reduce the budget via Rand Paul's spending plan, she voted against that. Her record is clear. She's a lifetime Democrat. She served as a Democrat. Before that, she was a federal lobbyist for a company, for an organization that pushed universal health care. And then, making matters worse, she voted for Hillary Clinton. We are nothing alike. We couldn't be further apart. And one of the things they're going to try to do is to fool people into believing that we are somewhat similar. But we are not. I'm a lifetime Republican. She's a lifetime Democrat. So very different.
Yeah, I don't know how you could. This is the thing that's happening this election cycle, at least in many Democratic races. The candidates that are claiming the moniker Democrat are claiming to have positions like Republicans. And they're saying, you know, I work across the aisle. I'll work with President Trump. I believe in a strong military, whatever it takes. But when, as I always say, it's not so much what a person says, it's what they do. It is curious to me that Cindy Hyde Smith voted for Hillary Clinton in 2008. I don't understand, if you have such a conservative voter guide, how that, even on the issue of sanctity of human life, I don't understand that. Everyone knows how Mrs. Clinton feels about life. She's all about abortion all 9 months.
Well, it gets even worse. You might recall that Cindy Hyde Smith's biggest donor is a guy named Sean Parker. Sean Parker was the guy that started Napster and Facebook years ago, and Sean Parker was Hillary Clinton's biggest donor. Sean Parker gave Hillary Clinton $300,000 to run against President Trump. He gave Cindy Hyde Smith $250,000 to run against me. This is what we're talking about. If you follow the money, if you recognize what's going on, Cindy Hyde Smith is a Democrat who votes like a Democrat, who's being funded by Democrats. I am not that person. And like I said, I've been a Republican my entire life, a conservative my entire life, and I think that's one reason the voter guide there lists me as very conservative. I am very conservative, and it lists her as somewhat conservative, and I think that's probably very friendly, to say the least.
Yeah, it's and so that always makes people wonder why Governor Phil Bryant, we already talked about why President Trump endorsed her, and I've seen this pattern before with him, and of course I work closely in D.C., and I know who's there advising him, and they often give him terrible advice. It was Reince Priebus for a long time, and now it's other people. So, but Governor Bryant, who people love and respect, what is it he sees in Cindy Hyde Smith, do you think?
I think it's as simple as his meeting with Mitch McConnell. He goes to Washington during the President's State of the Union address. He sits down. He meets with Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell says, "Do not send me McDaniel," and that's how the decision was made. Mitch McConnell doesn't want change. Mitch McConnell is obstructing Donald Trump's agenda. Mitch McConnell is a career politician who's standing in the way of conservative reform. He knows I'm not going to follow his lead. My only boss is going to be the people of Mississippi. I work for you. I work for the Constitution, for the principles that we hold dear. I'm not going to salute Mitch McConnell. And that's why Phil Bryant chose Cindy Highsmith. It comes down to Mitch McConnell's hand-appointed selection.
Well, I've seen it happen in other states, and so I've seen it happen over and over, so that that comports with what my experience is. Let me just say, you said that this is going to be a runoff between four people. The top two, well, it'll be an election Tuesday for four people. The top two will have a runoff 3 weeks later. Now, I'm looking at a sort of an analysis of this race from Atlantic Media and Research, and they show that Democrat Mike Espy has 28.2% of the vote, Cindy Hyde-Smith 27.4%. They show that you have only 17.8%, but here's the kicker. Undecided is 26.6% in Mississippi. That's huge, Chris. So who's undecided, you think?
There are people. I want to be clear about something. The polls you're citing flaw beyond reason. You cannot trust these polls. They're using them for propaganda. These are the same pollsters that said Hillary Clinton had a 99% chance to beat Donald Trump. They're lying to the American people. One of the polls as part of that composite didn't even poll my home area. It skipped the Pine Belt. It skips my stronger areas. It oversampled Democrats. It oversampled the elderly. Listen, forget about the polls. We're going to win this race. We're trending in the right direction. We know what the numbers say, and the polls we're seeing show us in the lead. So let's just focus on what matters here. You've got to ignore the NBC polls and the CNN polls. They have an agenda in mind. Just focus on what we have to do, and that's to elect the most conservative candidate, the only lifelong Republican in this race, and that's me. And if you do it, I promise you, I will fight for you. And if I don't do everything I told you I will do, you bring me home in 2 years.
Chris, there are so many issues right now. You know, the news is coming like a fire hose. I can attest to that because I cover it every day. As you watch the headlines and you see how the Senate intersects with those headlines, what thing do you see in the headlines that you say, man, I wish I were there to do fill in the blank? What really stokes you and makes you want to be there?
Build the wall. Fund the wall. Term limit. How about regulatory reform? Better tax reform across the board for everybody. This country is suffering because they're not passing Donald Trump's agenda, and that starts right there in the Senate with Mitch McConnell. There's so much we can do as part of reform. Stop funding Planned Parenthood. Stop funding Sanctuary City. Stop funding Obamacare. Stop giving the Democrats everything they ask for. Fight with courage. Fight with conviction. Stand your ground for a change. We are supposed to be salt and light of a culture and of a political system, and we have been silent for far too long. Christians have been silent far too long. We've been passive. We don't have anything else to compromise or surrender. We're not going to be passive any longer. We are here to retake lost ground, and we do that starting in November, and we fight, and we win, and we turn this country around.
You know what's interesting? There has been, at least from my perspective, no coverage of this race in Mississippi. And to me, that speaks volumes. You know, even Fox, that I used to work for 8 years, I love Fox. Everybody's grateful for Fox, but they have a definite bias toward establishment Republicans. There is just no question. There may be a few exceptions and a few hosts, but by and large, it's noteworthy that they don't even talk about this particular Senate race. It's a non-factor. And it is a factor.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The race against Cochran was so heated and so national. This one, not quite as much because of the dynamic of it, I suppose. I think what we're seeing here, people understand that Mississippi is a conservative state, and it's likely to elect the most conservative candidate, assuming we keep our eye on the ball and don't fall for the establishment's tricks. Don't fall for their fear-mongering. Don't fall for their lies. Focus on the issues. And if you research the issues, you see that there's one conservative in this race. And if you want to drain the swamp, if you want someone to fight along with President Trump to pass his agenda, I'm that guy. And so I'm looking forward to it. And I think as we approach the election, you're going to see more media attention. And certainly during the runoff, I think it intensifies greatly at that stage.
Yeah, let me just repeat that AFA has a great voter guide. And you can read the positions of all of these candidates, from Mike Espy to Cindy Hyde-Smith to Chris McDaniel. You can read into the weeds, you know, who's supporting them, where they stand on all these issues, whether it's gun control or borders or the sanctity of life, et cetera. and you can evaluate what you think. Now, Chris, what's the schedule for a guy like you between now and Election Day?
It never stops. It never stops. We're going to be traveling every part of the state. We've already driven over 50,000 miles on the bus just in the last few months, and we're not going to stop over the last few days. So, you know, I take very seriously the fact that I'm an employee of the people. If I can't get out there and meet them and answer the question, if I can't debate, if I don't have the willingness to debate, I should be disqualified from holding this position. And the other candidates in this race, they're running from a debate. They're scared to debate because they know if they debate, their Democrat past is going to be exposed. But we owe it to the people of this state to debate. I owe it to be in front of them, to answer their tough questions, and to earn their trust. And so I'm going to travel every corner of this state, and I'm going to meet as many people as I can.
All right, Chris. Senator Chris McDaniel, running for Senate in Mississippi. Cindy Hyde-Smith, his opponent, along with Mike Espy, Democrat Mike Espy. The runoff is coming up, and so be ye well-informed. AFA.net for our voter guide. Senator McDaniel, thank you for joining us today.
Thank
Sandy
you.
Rios, in the morning
it.
On AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Ding dong, merry, merry bells on Christmas Day. Oh, yeah, it's going to be Christmas soon, and I'm just, you know, humming these little tunes to help myself remember that it's almost Christmas. And with that, we always partner with Samaritan's Purse, one of my favorite ministries. Ever, really, founded and run by Franklin Graham. And Operation Christmas Child is just one of the many things that they do. Through the course of the years, they have sent these gift-filled shoeboxes to more than 157 million children since the project began in 1993. And, of course, that means that lots of you participated. And so, once again, we're asking you to do that. And the timeline here is that the Collection Week, National Collection Week, is November 12th to the 19th. So that's coming up very quickly. There's 5,000 collection sites, easy places for you to drop off. And it's possible that your church may already participate and it makes it easy for you. But if not, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's Operation Christmas Child. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And you can find out more about where to get a box. Basically, what you do, you put anything that you think a child might like. You think of your own children. It could be something for a boy, like a soccer ball, maybe a doll. Then you'd fill it up maybe with school supplies, just all kinds of stuff. It's just kind of an adventure to fill it up. And there is actually code you can follow where you can track your package and find out where it was sent. So I hope you'll join us with Operation Christmas Child and help us help these kids overseas and help Samaritan's Purse do this good work. It's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Well, another important project of the American Family Association is a ministry to millennials. How often, I have to confess, I'm raising my hand. I have stereotyped millennials. There are a lot of things about that generation that we struggle with, but I think maybe the generation ahead of me had a lot of problems with my generation too, so maybe that's just standard. But every generation has strengths and weaknesses. But certainly Engage is the ministry American Family Association has for millennials. And in the course of that, I think there's something like 20 millennials who are employed by American Family Association, and they kind of band together to start this ministry. Well, Cedra Sarton is the content coordinator of the information that they put out, whether it's hard copy or online, and she's joined us this morning. Good morning, Cedra.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, personal question. You can plead the fifth, although you shouldn't have to, but you are a millennial, right? So I'm wondering how old you are.
I'm 27.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, Cedra. What's interesting about this to you? Is it kind of like boring to be dealing with your own generation, or is it exciting to you?
Oh, it's very, very exciting, but it's also a little bit heartbreaking when you see so many that are not interested in the important things going on in the world, and that's kind of why we've put this together.
If you were to define, you know what, how I might describe millennials might be different than the way you describe it because it's far removed from my experience. If you were to describe your own generation, how would you describe them?
I would say they're becoming more and more involved in politics, in religion, more so than people would think. The thing is who's going to guide them? Are they being guided by a good side or a bad side? And a lot of them are being guided by a bad side that wants to lead them down a dark path where they are engaging in support of abortion or homosexual marriage. So they are very involved. They're just not being pulled in the right direction sometimes.
So would you say, okay, so if I were to say, what do you think the strength of your, one of the strengths of your generation would be, what would it be?
I think our ability to communicate. We have so many different ways of communication out there. And some people look down on them. Social media can be a bad thing, and sometimes it's a good thing. But we have this ability to get the truth out there like never before.
Boy, that's the truth. That's really true, Cedra. And, of course, it's true of every generation with the social media and all kinds of media. In fact, could I just interject that the Roman Empire and the establishment of a common language,
mm-hmm.
And a common government and roads and aqueducts, which connected them by their water supply and their roads, was the very thing that laid the groundwork for the spread of the gospel. Another form of, you know, communication or ability or just factor. So you're right that all of these complicated ways of communicating are just greasing the road to communicate really fine things, especially the gospel. You have a magazine that just is coming out. It's Engage the Annual, Volume 3 for 2019. And the title on the magazine is When the World Asks Why, the question that demands an answer. Very thoughtful millennial holding his beard on the cover. So tell us a little bit about why you chose that and maybe give us a tease about what you say in that article.
Well, that's actually referring to one of our articles, our cover feature by Jacob Riley. And just kind of when people are, that's the big question. People want to know why certain things happen, why bad things happen. Why did I lose this person? Why did I get sick? And that's just kind of referring, and Jacob wrote us an article kind of covering that topic, going into scripture and covering it. And we don't have all the answers, but he covered it really well, the best he could. And so that's kind of, we just felt that was a pretty heavy, really good article to lead off with. So we kind of wanted it featured on the front. But there's tons of other articles covering a wide range of topics in here.
Yeah, none of them light. I mean, like you've got one here, three things spiritually mature Christians do.
Yes. Yeah. They cover.
Yeah, give us a tease. Like what? Like who wrote that? And what's the gist of that?
That one's by our own Canada Burkhalter. She's actually our graphic designer, and she's the one that if you look at the magazine, she's the one that laid all this out and designed it for us.
It looks great.
Yeah, I told her that. I was very proud of the way it turned out, and thank you so much for that. But yeah, she just kind of sat down and thought it through. Sometimes there are a lot of people out there. We're all Christians. We call ourselves Christians. But are you spiritually mature? And she just kind of laid out using scripture as always, because our motto is share truth, apply scripture. And so that's our goal, is to dig into the word and use that to guide us as we write these articles.
So now another light topic for millennials, death and other minor topics.
Yeah.
So now what do you say to millennials about death? I mean, are they thinking about death?
Oh, I believe so. I mean, well, I think the younger you go, the darker you go. I see online all the time, people joke about death, especially the younger generations, not just millennials, but the generation after us, Gen Z. I see a lot of jokes about I want to die and things like that. And it's kind of a sad stance. So I think it was very good. That was by Chris Woodward. He works in our news department. And he just kind of, you know, it kind of made it sound kind of It seems when you read the title that it's going to be light, but he really does really well in covering the topic.
Well, it's certainly true, Sidra, that I my personal opinion is because my generation has left the door to the hen house open. We have invited in so much wickedness, and our kids have less foundation than even my generation, who the big topic was latchkey kids, you know, mothers who worked. And their kids came home and nobody was there after school. That was the big tragedy. Well, now we have kids that hardly have parents at all, maybe one-parent families. And even when they're home, they're absent. So kids really are looking to their peers and to media, social media, for yes. their, even for their, that's their world. So there is more, there's a fascination with vampires, with death, through these things like that, 13 Reasons.
Yes.
On Netflix. Yeah, so really, the question was rhetorical, but it's really true that death is a topic that millennials need to hear addressed. Now, here's another one I want to ask you about. What nobody told me about marriage. So I guess millennials are actually already married. You're one of them, right?
Oh, no, I'm not married.
Oh, no, you're not married. Okay,
no.
Okay.
If you flip before that, there's one called Not Married and Not Looking, and I think that one's more me, but... that's by Stacey Singh. She works in our journal department, and she actually just recently celebrated her 1-year anniversary. And so she just kind of sat down and wrote down, you know, all the things that she's learned over that year, over the year of being married, and just some of the things that she has discovered for herself that no one explained to her before she did get married.
These are great. Great topics, and we've just scraped the top of it. So now, here's the thing: do millennials like hard copy magazines?
Usually, we are online. Most of our content is online. This is only a small portion of what we have available. So, I would say most millennials would go online, but sometimes it's easier to get it out if there's a hard copy that you can give to somebody. If you tell someone there's this website, they're a lot less likely to go look it up unless they really feel compelled to do so. But if you hand them a copy of a magazine, it's there in their hand. Sometimes you're sitting there, you're bored, you start fiddling, you start reaching for things around you to pick up and read, and that magazine can be there. And so this is something that people can hand out. It's something that parents and grandparents feel comfortable having because they also read our magazine. We have a lot of people in older generations reading our content, and they like having something that they can give away.
Okay, so let's get practical here. How could people get this hard copy?
Oh, it's really, really easy. If you just go to engagemagazine.net, at the top, there's a tab that says magazine. You click on it, and there's the space to fill out your information so that we can get it to you, and it is a free copy. So just go to engagemagazine.net.
That's very cool. And then, at that website, then at that address, excuse me, that's where all your content is.
Yes,
right?
Yes, all of our content is there. You can go read these articles there. If you want to share it online, you can. It's there for you to share over social media. We are on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we're on YouTube. I myself do not have any articles. I'm not a writer, but I am on our YouTube channel. So if you want to go there, you can. Check all that out.
Plus, Engage, the ministry, has a radio show that's on every Saturday at 5:30 Central Standard, which I've listened to and really enjoyed.
Well, thank
and
you.
And it's called Share Truth, Apply Scripture.
Yes.
Share Truth, Apply Scripture.
Yes, and I am on that program with Jordan Chambly and Wesley Wildman, and just every Saturday we sit down and we talk about all kinds of topics that just whatever is laying on our hearts. And if anybody wants to, they can also go to engagemagazine.net. Contact us if you have any topics that you would like us to cover.
You know, the thing I enjoy, Sidra, is that you guys are real, really relaxed, very honest, and not stuffy at all. Like, you're not trying to be religious. You're very genuine. And yet, of course, you are reflecting God's spirit. When I say not religious, I'm talking about man's like rules and things
yes.
we should say and not say, a stiffness that's not God at all. You guys are very natural about your faith. And so the discussions are very good. And so that's on at 5:30 Central Standard Time. The Engage magazine, this annual volume, hard copy, which is just excellent. It looks top notch. It's beautiful. And if you would like a copy of this, go to engagemagazine.net. engagemagazine.net, and of course that's where the content for Engage is. And you can get your free copy also if you want a hard copy. Plus, the content is online. You can recommend it to your kids, your grandkids, and your friends, whoever is listening to this conversation. Cedra, if you were to take a next step with Engage Ministries, what would it be?
Oh, well, we've discussed a lot of things. We've just recently started expanding the things that in our minds what we would like to do, and we're having more and more opportunities. So I would like to be able to meet with some of our readers. Personally, for myself, that's what I would like to do. I would like to be able to actually have some sort of event. We did have a concert we put on. We got to meet a lot of people, but I would like to do more of that sort of thing, and maybe even release more and more exclusive content in our magazines.
Yeah, so, well, onward and upward, and I think you certainly, this is a great product, and this, the whole concept is excellent, it's effective, and so for those of you who know millennials, have millennial family members, children, grandchildren, this is something you would want to embrace. Again, it's engagemagazine.net. Our guest has been Cedra Sarton. Cedra, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.